Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. If you want to watch on TV, and we're also presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss Structure Accountability Results. The standard for weight loss in the area, it's emp180weightloss.com. It's Bish Cake, CB, and JP, and joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, it's our good old friend Brian McNally, who's in Tampa. He's now a senior writer for thesportscapital.com. He's covering the Eastern Conference Finals. What's up, B-Mac?
What's up, boys? What's going on?
How are you, man? Hey, the Caps. It's all about the Caps, man.
Riding the wave.
You know, it's funny. On Friday, we threw out there just the possibility. We just let ourselves think about it for a second. We said, what if the Caps actually went out there and they just, like, boat raced them for two games, and we come back on Monday, and we're super excited, and we're all like, no, that can't happen. Let's just hope for one. No, they got two, and in dominating fashion.
Sometimes, guys, it's best just to think about what the craziest thing that could happen in the NHL playoffs is, because that's usually the way it goes.
It's crazy.
Like, just think of the thing no one is talking about or no one assumes could happen, and you might end up there. And here we are. I mean, like you said, they weren't just like squeaker wins or they pulled out one in overtime or any of that stuff. They were decisively the better team, which maybe for one game you can go, okay, you know, Tampa had a layoff too. Maybe they just came out a little flat, but yesterday the Caps scored 28 seconds into the game, give the lead back on a couple of, let's call them so-so penalty calls, one of them for sure. They're down 2-1, but this team takes a punch, guys. It's a different group than we've seen in the past, and they took that punch, came right back, took the lead from Tampa, and then that, you know, that end-of-period scenario at the end of the second where they score twice in a minute. Just a backbreaker. You could feel the air just kind of hiss out of the building. And that was pretty much it. Tampa really had no response after that. And after the game, they looked like a team in shock, I think.
B-Mac, you tweeted this about 9 hours ago at your Twitter, at B-McNally14. Caps are now 11-3 in their past 14 Stanley Cup playoff road games. Mm. Please find me a crazier stat. I mean, that's pretty unbelievable for a team to be able to do that on the road over these last two playoff series. They get the two in Tampa. Now they come home with a commanding 2-0 lead. I mean, their confidence has to be sky high at this point.
Yeah, it definitely is, Cakes. I mean, this is a team that believes it can win, that believes it can finish teams off. Now they have to take care of business at home. Like, now that's the next step for them, is not to get, like, loose just because you're coming back to Capital One Arena. They have to figure out a way to translate that, because too often in the playoffs, while that 11-3 mark is amazing, they haven't done well enough in front of their home fans. Certainly we know the game seven stuff, but they need to now, they're now in a great position. Now they have to bring that back home and take advantage of what they've done here. But, you know, like I said, it's kind of uncanny the last 2 years. I mean, that's what championship teams do. Like, I'll say it that way. Championship teams go on the road and finish you when they have a chance. And this group, the core group anyway, I know they lost some guys from last year, but you know, they ended Toronto's season in Toronto, game six, didn't let it get to a game seven. They ended Pittsburgh's season this year, game six, didn't let it get to a game seven. They did the same thing to Columbus. You know, they seem to be developing this kind of callousness, this like thick skin that will serve them well if you're trying to finish off a team as good as Tampa, because the series definitely isn't over. Caps showed you can come back from 2-0 just last month. But, you know, that they are playing well enough at this point that there's reason to think and look at that and say, I think this team has what it takes to finish off a team, even if Tampa starts playing better, which I totally expect they will. I expect them to have a great game three. But the Caps now are in that position where it might not matter. You know, you're down 2-0. may not matter if you have a couple of good games, because if you lose one of them, you're in serious trouble.
Yeah, I mean, if they lose game three, I think it's over. Yeah. But, I mean, if they win game three and it's 2-1, now all of a sudden it's back on again and anything can happen. I wonder, how was their mood in the locker room afterwards? Were they, like, sort of professional and they understand this thing can change quickly, or were they super excited?
They have, throughout these playoffs, Eric, have been very good at, like, compartmentalizing that stuff.
Perspective.
They don't get – yeah, they're like Tiger Woods used to do, right, where he would just – there would be no fist pumping on a Saturday or that kind of stuff. Like, you don't – it was very methodical. Like, they're constantly referencing – I know Kuznetsov said it, Brett Conley said it, Lars Eller said it, Braden Holtby did as well, where they kind of are like, it doesn't matter that we're up 2-0. Like, they're trying to put that aside – and just play the next game. That's a total cliche, and it's way easier said than done. But we have now seen them put that into practice for a couple of series in a row. I mean, they fell behind 2-0 against Columbus and didn't panic, didn't get it. They said the same similar things and then lived up to them. So that's why I'm more likely to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're not going to come out and put up a stinker, because we haven't seen that from them. They really haven't done that. Most of their losses in the playoffs have been close. They've not had a bad game yet. They haven't had really too many flat games where you're like, ah, they're just not engaged tonight. It's probably just going to be an L and whatever. But they haven't done that. And so they said all the right things in the locker room yesterday. And we'll see if that carries over to I don't even know what day it is. Tuesday night, I guess, for Game 3.
Right. Joined by Brian McNally, senior writer for the SportsCapital.com. Let's talk about one of the more underrated moves this season, and that is the pickup of Kempney. Kempney's not somebody that we raved about this year. Last year it was Shattenkirk. They've made these moves, but he's been a big difference. The defense, which had been the weak link, has really tightened up here in the postseason.
Yeah, he had obviously a bad penalty yesterday. Got a little frustrated and had a cross check he shouldn't have. But, like, that's one of the few times I can remember where you said his name and went, man, that was dumb, or that was a bad play. He's good, guys. This is they may have found a kind of a gem here. They rave about him. He's a guy who can skate. You know, in Chicago, he was signed as kind of a KHL guy to come over and maybe fill some minutes for the Blackhawks, and they just didn't trust him enough, and he didn't have enough of a role there. And who knows? Maybe it's the defensive system. He said he's felt comfortable here with how the Caps do things, and you can see it. Like, they plugged in a mobile veteran guy, because he's not like a rookie. He's 27 years old. They plugged him right in next to John Carlson when they got him from Chicago in, like, around February 20th. And it's been almost seamless. You know, a couple rocky games early, but for the most part, he's given them a veteran guy that they can count on, they can rely on. And you're seeing it in the playoffs, because they never look rattled, and he doesn't look rattled. You know, he's not really been in this position. The Caps have a lot of guys like this who are in roles of trust, maybe for the first time in a long time in their career, and are kind of embracing that. Lars Eller is another one, someone who, you know, never really was given a chance in Montreal to do what he wants to do, you know, play the way he thinks he can. And he and Kempney and guys like this have kind of brought a professionalism to the role player ranks on this team that maybe not that they didn't have before, but that you certainly didn't have when you were playing rookies like Christian Juice, Madison Bowie, a ton of minutes early in the season, maybe before they were ready.
Hey, B-Mac, I don't know how you felt after the third period of game one. You know, I'm watching that at home. It's 4-0, and, you know, we're kind of cruising. And then in the third period, Tampa came out. They were more aggressive, and you know, they made it interesting and made it 4-2. And I was telling a buddy, I said, that's the way I expect Tampa to come out in the first period of game two. And they kind of did. Now, they got a couple gift calls with those two power play goals.
They did.
So, you know, they got those gifts. But I expected them that kind of carryover. But, man, the second and third period, Washington just boat raced them. What did you notice?
They did.
What did you notice in the second and third periods that you didn't see in the first?
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing a Tampa team that's kind of like I said, the chances aren't necessarily – it's not like they were piling up shots and Braden Holtby was saving the Caps. It's a very – how do I want to say it? Like, a composed game that we don't usually see from the Caps in the postseason. Now, they're a better defensive team than they have been, obviously, but it's the composure that I like. It's their ability to skate out of trouble. They're making plays under pressure. Look at the play that started John Carlson or Devontae Smith-Pelly's 2-on-1 with Alex Chase on, where he scored. That was a huge goal, right? That tied the game and all that. Well, that was John Carlson sitting right in front of the net, taking a pass from a Tampa player and just immediately hitting it off the boards because he saw Chase on going in the other direction. He didn't panic. He didn't, like, flub the puck. Just a very composed, quick. You wouldn't have even noticed it until you have the 2-on-1. And they've been making plays like that, getting Tampa's forecheckers off them, which is, you know, something that the Caps have talked about. Tampa wants to turn you over. They play like Pittsburgh does a little bit. They want to use their speed to get on top of you and make you make a dumb decision. The Caps haven't been making any. They've been making those kind of plays, smart off the boards, and bam, you're going the other way for a 2-on-1. And then you have the composure to finish it and tie the game and kind of get yourself back in, get yourself settled. I just, for two full games, that's what I saw. And it's impressive. And it looks a little bit, you saw Kucherov, right, at the end, mm-hmm. kind of kick Brett Conley, just mm-hmm. kicked him. He felt he'd been slew-footed earlier in the game. It looks a little bit like the Caps are in their head. And that, again, that's not something we usually say about the Caps to the other team. It's usually the other way around. So another kind of example that Tampa may be a little, not that they can't come back, but that they're a little bit rattled.
We're joined by Brian McNally, senior writer for thesportscapital.com. The Caps are getting production from all over the lineup, but they're being led by their superstars. Ovi and Kuzi each have 19 points through 14 games, leading all remaining players in the Stanley Cup playoffs in scoring. These are the types of performances that the Caps need to help propel them to the Stanley Cup final.
I mean, no other way to say it, Cakes. Those are championship performances just all the way through the playoffs. Kuznetsov has been brilliant. Ovechkin has given them everything they've needed. You know, they're not defensive players, but they've been committed on that end to at least do their part, not to just be focused on their own zone completely. But that's their skill set, and that's what they're here to do. That was a clinical finish the other day, and it has to kind of terrify Tampa a little bit to know, hey, if we pinch and make a mistake and it goes the other way, they're not going to miss. They're not going to, you know, give us another chance. The Caps have been very, very efficient with those kind of plays. And Ovechkin finished off just a ridiculous pass from Kuznetsov, like a subtle move to get some space on the 2-on-1, make sure the defender didn't block the pass, finished it, kind of put everything away. People started streaming for the exits, really, at that point. When it became 5-2 yesterday. So you can't ask for more. And we haven't even mentioned, guys, they're doing this without Nick Backstrom. They've just won three playoff road games without one of the top centers in the world. You know, and Lars Eller kind of filling in for him. That's remarkable.
All right, Brian, have a safe flight back to D.C.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian, buddy.
McNally from thesportscapital.com. We will sprinkle in a little Redskins talk coming up at 8:40. John Keim will join us. We'll hear about minicamp coming up at 8:40. Then Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post, fancy stats writer, of course, hosts Crashing the Net, which you can listen to right here on 106.7 The Fan. He'll join us at 9:40 on The Junkie.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, Cakes, I think you'll appreciate this. I think this is a really cool story. And a guy's been texting me on the zip line the last few days.
Yep.
And we've been so, you know, caught up in the cap stuff. So I just couldn't really follow up on it. But he's the dad of a drummer in a local band, garage band, called Never Born to Follow. Mm-hmm. Now, Never Born to Follow are a bunch of high school kids from Tuscarora High School in Leesburg.
Okay.
Which is right near downtown Leesburg. We actually played them in softball tonight. And they won the Leesburg Battle of the Bands last year, or Loudoun Battle of the Bands.
Right.
and they entered a contest that Bon Jovi started called Opening Act Contest. So wherever they go, they like local bands can audition to open up for Bon Jovi.
That sounds like a great idea.
And Bon Jovi's in town. They're playing the Capital One tonight.
Okay.
And this band, Never Born to Follow, won it.
So great.
That is awesome.
So these four high school kids from Tuscarora High School, I don't know, the names are in this article, but I mean, they're going to open up for Bon Jovi tonight at Cap One.
Cap One Arena. That's a big room.
How cool
is
that?
Last time I checked, that is really awesome.
That's a huge story.
Awesome for them and a really great idea that's probably long past due for bands to kind of mine the local talent and give, you know, a band like that what has to be by far their biggest exposure that they've gotten.
But apparently Bon Jovi does that in all the cities.
Yeah. I like that.
That is really cool.
I hope they kill it tonight, and I hope people show up early and support them.
So I don't know how much, you know, local news coverage they've gotten, because this is pretty cool. So congratulations to those kids.
That's awesome. Now, the name of the band again is?
Never Born to Follow is the name of the band.
But they still want people to follow them on Twitter and social media.
I would imagine so. Yes.
Sure.
Of course.
Yes. They found out on Twitter that they'd won that contest.
Yeah.
All right. That's so cool.
So they'll be opening up for Bon Jovi and the boys
tonight.
Good
for them. That's a cool local story.
Where is the show?
Capital One.
Capital One, yeah. So cool.
Yep.
So cool.
I mean, I'm guessing they haven't played for 19,000 people before.
I doubt it.
It's Zach Jones, Derek Johnson, Alan Fogelson, and Nick Beers. And Jesse Hill.
Very good.
He actually goes to another high school.
Good for them. That's awesome.
That's really cool.
That's a cool story.
All right. You want me to tell you what's going on in the world of Hollywood and entertainment?
We've done 2+ hours on the Caps. We can
get a little reprieve, right? For a little bit. JP mentioned movies. He saw a bunch of movies 6 months old or older. But at the box office.
I saw it at the theater.
Oh, you did? Okay.
9:50 on a Saturday morning. That's
early.
I don't think I've ever seen a movie.
That was mid-Tiger round.
That's right, on Saturday.
He was
about 3 birdies deep.
Yeah, a bunch of circles on his card by then.
Yeah, he was on fire. Infinity War did another $61 million.
Still number one?
Unbelievable.
See, that's why I'm catching up on the MCU.
I believe I heard worldwide it's made $1.6 billion already. Mm.
That's crazy. So far, just domestically, to put it in perspective, so it's made it's made $547 million here. It's made another $1 billion around the world.
Yep.
All right, so I might see that this upcoming weekend because I feel like I've caught up. Just tell me that Thor is minimized in it. I'm not into Thor.
I don't know about minimized.
And not into Ant-Man.
Ant-Man not in Infinity War. And Thor has an, I'd say, medium-sized role. It's not like he overtakes the movie.
All right, well,
it's a long movie. It's like 2 hours and 30-plus minutes.
Now, it was number one, but nothing really close. Life of the Party debuted at number two, did $18 million, but that's like $43 million behind it. Breaking In did $16.5 million. Overboard, $10 million. And rounding out the top five, another $6 million for A Quiet Place.
Breaking In is the Andre Vasilevsky story. The goals breaking in all series long. God,
that's
like
actually Gabby
him.
Union, right?
It is, correct.
It looks like a movie that we've seen a million times. Like, it's just a woman now being the vigilante, right?
I think,
vigilante
Kevin
justice.
Kevin was on Friday. She's a mother. These guys break in on a home invasion. It's up to her to save the family.
Right.
Save the day.
It's Taken, except it's a woman doing
basically,
Taken.
Yeah.
Cardi B, Cakes, I know you're fascinated by Cardi B.
Oh, I am. By her every move.
Basically the most popular female rapper in the world right now. Apparently making waves because she's off social media. For now, anyway. I believe she recently, did she delete her Instagram account?
Yes.
She's suspended her Twitter account. And it's all because of doctor's orders. They said social media is putting too much stress on her during her pregnancy.
Really?
I think she got into some beef or something with, is it Azalea Banks? I don't know her. I don't know of her. But something happened.
Heard of Gene Banks.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a perfect missing link
name, by the way. I've heard of the Azaleas at Augusta.
Heard of Tony Banks.
Banks, perfect missing link now. Iggy Blank Banks.
Iggy Azalea Banks. It works. All right, you guys want to hear 2017's most popular baby names? Let me see. I really
don't care. But
you don't care about
that's
this?
All. It's
gave
on.
It to me. Why?
Yeah. Give me the top three.
That's a weak EP.
Hey, this is what Drabby gave to me.
Yeah, no, I'm blaming
but just
them.
Guess the girl. Think about your friends.
Think about
that have had babies recently. I mean, most of our friends had their babies years ago. Yeah. But I have a group of guys that I know in their 20s and 30s.
I'll
having
say
kids.
I'm going to take a stab at Abby.
No,
I'm going to go with Madison.
Nope.
Taylor.
Nope.
Gertrude.
All right. All right. So we're going to do the girl's name, right? That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Emma, number one.
Emma's number one.
Number one.
That's a comeback because that used to be
the
name.
In fact, a good friend of mine's having their couple. They're having babies, you know, very soon, and their baby's named Emma. Also, the top 10. Mm-hmm. Let me see. All of the names you. Nobody mentioned Olivia.
Nope.
Ava. Ava's in
Ava's
the top 10.
Ava's been pretty popular for a few years.
Isabella, JP's. Sophia, Mia, Charlotte, Amelia, Evelyn, and Abigail.
Look at
Abby. Oh, I got Abby.
Abby.
There.
I guess so. The boys, number one boy name right now?
Hunter.
Not in the top 10 even. Liam.
Tiger.
Liam.
Liam is number one?
I think that's kind of surprising.
Harry.
Right? Liam, number one. Yeah, also in the top 10.
It's all the One Direction boys.
1D donks.
Yeah. Noah, William, James.
Bella.
Logan. Benjamin, Mason, Elijah, Oliver, Jake. I don't see any. Jason. No. John. No John.
This is John's a boring, terrible name.
It's too boring.
No John Pauls. No Erics.
Boring.
No Drabbies.
No Matts.
No Matts. Definitely no Adams. One of the fastest growing girl names, Melania.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm guessing one of the fastest growing boys' name, not Donald.
All right, so
not too many people name their kids Donald.
Drabby says we have to play Seinfeld. I guess do we have audio of him?
Yeah.
What's he on?
He's on David Letterman's Netflix show, the
I
1-on-1
checked
interview.
It out yet.
People
he interviewed
like the
Obama.
Show?
It's okay.
Yeah. Did they air the Stern episode yet?
That's not supposed to.
The last one.
That's supposed to air till the end of the month.
By the way, since you said you didn't have many stories, right? I just went to TMZ and just was going through the Twitter, and this story just made me laugh. It's a Kardashian story, but it's just the headline. Kim Kardashian blames Kanye West's recent behavior for her first gray hair.
Who does Valdez blame for all of his gray hair?
Hey, Valdez.
Hey, can you tell a story?
Valdez came in here during a break, and he showed us this picture. I don't know.
It was yesterday for Mother's Day. We went over my wife's parents' house.
Yeah.
Just ate outside.
They're eating outside at a picnic table.
What was on the menu?
It was like chicken thighs with grilled vegetables.
Something classy.
Yeah.
Wasn't at the Myers.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
It wasn't crabs.
No crustaceans. Right. I'm not interested.
No seafood.
Right.
So he shows you a picture.
So he says, this was the worst part of my weekend. And he shows a picture, and literally his hair is as white as mine.
Yeah.
You can't tell because he wears a hat
every
day.
He always wears a hat. Yeah.
Jason, like it looks like your hat. Here, I'll send
you
the picture.
Have you seen the picture yet, Jason?
I haven't seen it.
Will you put it on social media? Just post it. Just post it on social media.
I'm going to send
Here's
it to Jason.
Here's the thing
first.
About Matt.
All right.
He's 30 years old.
Yeah.
He's only 30 years old. I really started to go hard gray like 35. I remember distinctly when my father was ill. I felt like that stress of that last year really, my hair just started popping up white all over the place. But you're only 30. You're ahead of me.
But I'll say.
You're ahead of me, dude.
From looking at the picture, and I know he's tilted by it, I had him take his hat off about 10 minutes ago.
You think it's a bad picture?
The picture does not do him justice because his hair does not look as gray as it does in the picture.
Maybe it was so it was bad light.
I think it was bad light.
Or maybe it was good light. And we just had bad light in here.
Yeah,
in good light,
could be.
In good
that,
light
that
he was exposed. Will you please tweet
you,
the pic?
Yes, I will tweet the picture.
If you buy it, I've been intrigued many times with the gray-reducing shampoo. It's not like just slapping on some paint.
Right.
It's supposed to do it subtly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw a picture of myself over the weekend, and it looked like I had dark hair up top, and it looked like somebody took a paintbrush of white paint just to the size of my lap.
I tell you what, I'm vulnerable for hair color. Because usually I would just say, no, I don't need that. That's fine.
But
it's just salt and pepper.
Dude,
it's so early. At 30?
Is your brother older than you?
Your brother,
yes, he's
Michael
older.
Myers. This is his real name.
Does Michael Myers have gray hair? Premature gray?
No, it's on the side, kind of like by the sideburns.
Even all after right. killing all those people in Haddonfield, Illinois?
Right. You know what? You just got to blame your dad.
Yeah. Was blame dad, if genes. I recall, was isn't he follically challenged?
Who, my dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's balding.
Yeah.
Okay, but when he was your age.
Dad, like close to 60?
When he
or
was your
I
age,
know.
He might have been premature gray.
Yeah. Are you balding too?
No.
You don't have the double whammy. You don't have the double whammy. Right.
Although Drab said I look handsome with gray hair.
Oh, you think he looks okay?
No, he looks trifling. But in that photo, he looks pretty good. I think it's that pink polo. It just pops. He's got big muscles.
And wearing the Mother's Day pink polo.
It looks like a nice backyard wherever you are.
All right, please tweet the photo so people can see it.
I mean, his father-in-law gets like 5 different revenue streams. I mean, it's a show. By the way, why aren't you playing Girls Not Gray by AFI yet? What are you doing?
Sorry, I'm tweeting the picture of me being gray.
Yeah, make sure you do that.
That is a good tune.
Of course, Davey Havoc and company. They're silly.
Did you see this story on Media Takeout where they're saying...
I have not.
I'm addressing Valdez. That Jennifer Aniston's husband, I guess, is Justin Theroux, left her for a black girl. That's the headline. Is that a true story? Valdez, have you done a thorough investigation of that? I haven't investigated. Yeah.
Is she with Brad Pitt again or not? Is she living with him?
No. Brad Pitt is with this architect woman from, like, the New Orleans area.
How was a bogus rumor?
It was all over the freaking tabloids.
The rags.
You ran with it.
I ran with it. Yeah. It's like it makes all the sense in the world.
Darius Geis.
He was tired of skinny ass Angelina Jolie and wanted his old flame back.
Right. No, Brad Pitt's like dating the smartest chick on the planet.
That's what I said, that architect. Like,
I think it's
professor.
MIT.
So what's Aniston doing?
She's like it's like an architecture or something.
Right.
That's his big thing.
So she's just grasping for another man?
I'm sure she's probably not grasping.
Well, everyone she dates dumps her.
Yeah, it's fine. But I'm sure she does. I mean, if she wanted a date, it wouldn't take her too long.
Yeah, I think she'd
do okay.
She'd do better than AWOD.
Exactly.
Well, who wouldn't?
Hey, Valdez, so do you want to play the Seinfeld audio? Do you have it?
Yeah, I have it.
Yeah. All right, so this is Seinfeld on the...
my next guest?
He just couldn't get... He was asked about doing Trump stuff, and he couldn't change the topic quick enough.
Oh, okay.
Do you do Trump stuff when you go out?
No, it doesn't interest me. I do a lot of raisin stuff.
A lot of what?
Raisins. I have a lot of raisin material. Because, you know, you have the Sun-Made company. And then you have the Raisinette people.
Yeah, that's right. And you're going to go with the Sun-Made people.
Well, I just think it's interesting that after 80 years, Sun-Made finally went, hey, why don't we put some chocolate on it?
Uh-huh.
Like, imagine not thinking of that for 80 years.
Raisinettes are pretty good.
Worst EP ever. This is the worst EP ever.
Cakes and JP like that.
I would agree.
No, it's the worst one.
Well, you should have known he went to Baby Names.
Baby Names.
Famous.
Well, I mean,
I literally was
going to get a water during the break. He's like, no, we got to do the EP.
I know.
So I said, EP, I got no stories.
Water.
He gave me 5 stories, and they were the worst 5 stories
I think they
ever.
Like the fact that we just Joan on the stories now.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't any good stories in the EP.
But you know, it was saved by Valdez's head of gray hair.
Right. Did you tweet it?
Yes, I tweeted the picture. @Matt_Valdez.
And you can see what he looks like. Mm. Mm-hmm. I feel for you, brother. But I think you should. You're still young enough that you could go with the hair for men or whatever it is. Where it's a slow transition. That's what you need.
And what about the royal wedding invitees?
Yeah,
they said they were going to have a story.
Yeah.
This is Matt Valdez.
Not interesting to me.
They're nubs. They're doing a Friday wedding.
Is that what?
That's what I did.
What are they doing it for? Like for TV or something?
I don't know. I just know if you do a Friday wedding, it's kind of nubs.
It's a royal couple. They're not nubs. The royal family.
Yeah, everyone's trying to save a buck.
If you weren't the royal family, I would agree with you. Nubs if you do a Friday wedding. I get it.
It's probably a national holiday.
Yeah, it's probably exactly. Probably everyone's taking off.
Yeah. I did a Friday night wedding and loved it.
Silly. You get a good discount.
You do.
What if you did like on a Thursday?
Probably saves you like 30%.
Might as well just. What if you did in the middle
of the week? Or do a Monday wedding.
Right.
Perfect.
Just make everybody take off work.
So did JP. Made us drive to Kent Island like as soon as the show ended.
Hey. All right.
Don't start throwing stones. You had an outdoor wedding.
All right.
It was 120
that's
degrees.
True. That's true.
At least it was on your day off, Rick.
Yeah. That's true.
His venue didn't have air conditioning.
Right.
He did not.
That's the only reason why he lost weight. He sweated it off.
By the way, and I love the bridge traffic. On a Friday.
Mm.
Oh, it's great.
At least they let you on the bridge. I was telling you, my wife and daughter were trying to come back. I didn't know that they do that. They close the bridge for too much wind.
Oh, yeah. They definitely do that.
Both ways. You're finished.
Yeah, you have to sit or take an alternate route.
Yep. She said there were 500 people in the Royal Farms.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, all getting silly fried chicken.
Exactly.
Of course they were.
Exactly.
All right, coming up next, we will talk a little Washington Redskins.
Chicken.
They had their rookie mini camp over the weekend. John Kime, Redskins reporter for ESPN, joins us next on The Fan.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Been talking about the Caps. Up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals throughout the show. Neil Greenberg is going to join us coming up at 9:40. Of course, he hosts Crashing Net with Tom Daly right here on 106.7 The Fan. So we'll get back into Caps Lightning. But joining us right now to talk some Redskins on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is John Keim, Redskins reporter for ESPN.com. Morning, John.
Hey, guys. You know, I'm not used to being topped by the Capitals in the spring, so it's kind of a nice sequence of events here.
I know. Normally, we'd just be completely obsessing on this mini camp and trying to make something out of nothing and try to look into all these sort of stories that almost don't even exist. But we have something great to focus on, which is the Caps. But, you know, I was asking JP before and Cakes, I had read leading into the camp, there were 7 of the 8 guys had been signed. And I think Cakes said the third round pick, the tackle, hadn't. Did they finally come to terms with him? How did that play out?
Well, first of all, he was in camp. And the third round picks, there's no official deal yet. But the third round picks are always harder because there's a little bit of a, I don't know if it's a loophole or the way, there's more money for them to bargain with in the third round. The signing bonus is slotted, but the salary is not. So there's a little bit more bargaining there and getting percentage on all the deals. So that's why the third round pick is always, you know, one of the last ones, but there's been nothing officially announced there.
All right, and then I heard, so that our friend Ari Quanjo, a fellow DeMatha grad, did he tear his Achilles?
Torn quad.
Whatever it was, torn quad, and he could be out, the whole year maybe. Did they know that when they signed LaVal, or did it happen after?
No, it happened afterwards, and it was because he didn't go to get the test. It didn't come out until Friday, and he was going to get a second opinion on Friday. They'll find out officially today after they talk to the doctors about it, but the fear clearly is a torn quad, and he'd be out for the year. But no, LaVal was somebody, and I've mentioned this a few times, but LaVal was always on the radar for coming back this year, and it was as much about they kind of knew he was going to be there. So going through the whole process, through free agency, through the draft, if you didn't upgrade, then you could always bring back Sean LaVal. So that was always part of the he was always an option, so it wasn't related. And with Quanjo's quad, it was more of a, from what I understand, it was more of a gradual tearing rather than some sort of, you know, specific one moment where he got hurt.
And John, depth at guard now with Sean Walsh, the rookie from Iowa, all of a sudden retiring. I mean, did that leave the Redskins a little bit blindsided?
You know what? Honestly, I don't know if it left them blindsided. I think you could say it would be a surprise to anybody, because here's the thing. I know, like, a lot of fans kept kind of harping on the guy. Hmm. With undrafted guys, like, I don't get all that excited about them until you start seeing something in training camp.
Right.
And I wouldn't have counted on a guy who was an undrafted free agent to come in and be a solution at left guard in his first year. Those guys are future guys. So he was never, to me, was never really, you know, a main option there, because you had guys ahead of him who were veterans. I mean, Kyle Kalis and Tyler Catalina were in the same position last year as him, undrafted, and they've been here a year. And you had Quanjo, and you have possibly a Ty and Secchi. And at that, you know, at that time, you had Quanjo, you had LaVal as well. So, you know, I think anytime a kid hangs it up, you're going to be surprised. They had the quarterback, I think it was last year, who did the same thing.
All right, let's get to the guys that we really care about. Darius Geis, who apparently doesn't miss school. Tell us what you saw from him and what you heard about him.
And we're only out there for the one day on Friday, and during that time, it's maybe an hour and 40 minutes, so you're getting kind of a little bit of only a small taste of what is going on. They're not in pads or anything like that, so you're only getting that. But what you saw from Geis is a guy who, you know, clearly has some energy on the field, extremely happy to be out there, always having a smile on his face, has a pretty big personality, and I think fans will see that over more and more over time. So that's a little bit what you saw from him, because you can't tell as a runner. I could go out there and look halfway decent as a runner because you're not getting tackled. So, you know, I think that part is whatever, but it's the other stuff that, you know, that you see. Now, with some of the other guys, when you put them in one-on-one situations, you start to see a little bit of what you want to watch later, like a guy like the seventh-round pick, Trey Quinn, mm-hmm. The slot receiver. I think he'll be an interesting guy to watch. I mean, Crowder's in the slot. That's his spot. But I think Quinn could help out. And you see how he sets up guys on his routes. You see the way he stands and all that. From a football perspective, you can see why teams liked him and why they liked him. Jerron Christian, the third round tackle, you see the long arms. You see some of the athleticism. You know, you can see the size of a Deron Payne and, you know, just how fit he is, and Tim Settle, guys like that. So that's a lot of what you see. And then just the way they, you know, how they conduct themselves, running to drills, you know, who's first in line, that kind of thing. Geis was, Tim Settle and Payne always were 1-2. So, you know, those are the kind of things that you start to pick up on.
Did anybody else jump out at you?
In that limited time, it's really hard to say. I think, like, one of the guys that I think would be fun to watch if he gets his weight in shape is a running back, Martez Carter, from Grambling State.
Oh, yeah.
But he's like 210 pounds.
He's small. Isn't he like 5'7 or 5'8?
He's 5'7 and yeah. 210 pounds. I think he's going to be – but see, that's what I say. He's going to have to get into some better shape to make the kind of impact that I think people who watch him at Grambling State could. Tariq Cohen, who was at the Bears last year, kind of paved the way. My understanding is he was not necessarily considered as good as Cohen, but as a guy who can do similar things. I think he jumps out just because you can see that. I think he could be somebody to watch. I think, like I said, Quinn kind of jumped out a little bit as well. And it's really hard to get, because, again, they're in shorts and a helmet. It's really hard to get a great feel for what they're going to eventually do. But those are some of the early standouts.
I mean, some of the kids they signed, the college free agents they signed, were really good football players. I mean, Quinn Blanding at Virginia, good football player. Simi Cobbs, the receiver from Indiana, good football player.
Absolutely, and those are some of the guys that that when you talk around, like, those, there are a few guys that I think stood out in terms of coming into the rookie minicamp as far as the undrafteds go, and those are definitely two on the list of guys who have a shot. And because one, like for Quinn Blanding, they don't have a lot of safety depth, so there's a path there for him to make it if they keep more than four safeties, which they did not do last year. Then, you know, he has a shot. I think Cobbs has a chance because he's got size. I mean, right. That's the other. He's like 6'3", 220, I think it is.
Yep.
But, you know, he looked full. He was a good size receiver. And I think that's something that he offers. So I think that's a guy you can watch as well. I think Carter's on that list. And I think, those would be three of the guys you'd want to pay attention to when camp begins.
Joined by John Keim, Redskins reporter for ESPN.com. Are you following Josh Norman's run on Dancing with the Stars?
Hopefully not.
I can't say. You know, I felt like I should, but I'd be lying if I said I was. I mean, I see his tweets, and I've seen a little bit of the video, him dancing without the shirt on and all that, but I'm a little bit more invested in watching the Caps right now, I think.
Now, what's your vibe? You've been here through all the disappointment in the history of this Capitals team. I was saying, and the guys are getting on me, that I believe this is over. They're going to be the Stanley Cup Finals. They're up 2-0. They're playing so well. They've outscored the team 10-4.
Definitely
are you still
over.
Nervous?
I come, because you guys know my Cleveland background. I never think anything is over because I saw it too often. I've seen it here a few times where – with all these teams, but to me, it's like the way they're playing.
Right.
It's like that second round hurdle has just changed them. And because I don't know, and you guys have followed this more closely than I do, but, you know, in my limited time watching, like, this seems to be the best they've ever played. And the way they're responding to adverse situations and, they just seem to be playing relaxed and all that. So, I don't know. I mean, that, you know, it was a big deal to get past the Penguins in the second round, and it certainly seems like it's made a huge difference in their mentality. I mean,
right.
It's funny. I was out there a couple weeks ago, and I did a story on the Washington D.C. sports misery and all that. And when you're talking, the one thing that struck me in the Caps locker room is just how, you know, each guy kept saying, this is a different team. There's a different sort of energy on this team because of some of the young guys and all the changes that they made and the fact that nobody gave them a shot to even make the playoffs. And yet here they are. And I mean, you guys have all seen teams that get on these runs in the postseason, and it's, I'm sure there's got to be a big part of everybody saying, when is it going to finally happen here? When does the team from here finally go on that magical run? And it's like, you know, hopefully this is the time.
It's amazing because during the regular season, like you said, no one expected much from this team. You know?
No, no.
I mean, we thought they'd be a playoff team, but
that's the thing is they have. They seem, and again, in hindsight, there's a good blend of you have the, you know, the obviously some great veterans here, but I think sometimes getting that new infusion of young energy too makes a difference. And but it's just, I think the way, the thing that, and again, I'm not a strong, you know, huge fan. I like them. I like to see them win, and I root for them, especially in the playoffs. And compared to previous playoffs, it's the way they're responding to adverse situations. And to go down there and win two on the road, and, you know, there seems like there's times where, like, they give up the two goals the other night in the third period, and it's like, okay, what's going to happen? And then they played their best hockey, it seemed. Mm-hmm. You know, the Tampa Bay didn't get anything much in the last 5 minutes. It was just, it seems like those are different sort of responses than they've had in the past.
And then you mentioned the Cavs. I didn't watch much of that game. I just, you know, read the box scores and read some recaps. But I would expect LeBron to come out. And now that he knows this is pretty much a must win, I would expect him to come out with one of those vintage LeBron performances.
You would think so, but if the other guys aren't helping more, then it won't matter. And that's the problem, because if they're doubling him the way they were, then you need Kevin Love, you need J.R. Smith or somebody to have a good game to make those pay, and they didn't do that yesterday. And so if that doesn't happen, then LeBron can have a great game. But if it's only if his great game is 40 points and 5 assists, they're going to lose. If his great game is 34 points and 12 assists, then they win.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said that Toronto should have done. Toronto refused to double him.
It was amazing. But see, also, Toronto doesn't play. I think the reason why Indiana was such a – and I knew Indiana was going to be a harder series just because of how physical they play.
Yeah, they're better.
And they play that way with everybody. And whereas Toronto does not. Toronto might have a couple physical guys. Overall, though, they didn't play any – they don't play that way, and Boston does too. And they have – Boston can play physical, and then they have good, talented young athletes. So, you know, I think it's that combination will make this a harder one than what it's already harder than what Toronto gave them.
Yeah, Stevens is a genius. He just is. Great coach. But you got to do whatever you can do to get the ball out of LeBron's hands, and that's what they were doing. So,
Right. And make the other guys beat you. And if they do, they do. If they don't, you know, but you know, if you go one on one with LeBron, he will. Especially them, it's like he will beat them in a big way if they just let him go one-on-one.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. All right, John. Appreciate
Thank you,
the time, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, John.
All right. It's just amazing that here we are. Typically, we do about 2 or 3 hours on the Redskins rookie minicamp.
That's
and
great.
Today, we barely got through about 5 minutes of it.
This is awesome.
Replaced by something way better.
We did more caps than Cavs.
But think about that. I mean, during the regular season, actually, to start the season, we said, all right, well, this team might be a 5 seed. Maybe a 6 seed.
Yeah, so
didn't expect
sneak into
Metro
the playoffs. But we did think. I know this. I know.
We knew they still had star power, but we thought it would be not a rebuilding year, but more of a down year.
But we did think that maybe they would surprise people in the playoffs being a lower seed. Now they weren't necessarily a lower seed. Where were they ultimately
One seed.
Seeded? Yeah, they weren't a lower seed, but they certainly are surprising people. We thought they maybe just need to sneak in, be a 5 or 6 seed, and have lower expectations.
No, they were
better
than what
we thought. But they still did have lower expectations because we all assumed they would just lose to Pittsburgh.
I know, but then now they're 2 wins from the cup.
Finals.
From playing for the cup.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know.
To start the year, we said, no way.
That this was a different team the way they responded in the first round.
We also thought the Eagles would have no chance to win a Super Bowl without Carson Wentz.
That's correct.
And they went out and did it.
Correct.
It's the beauty of sports.
Absolutely.
I mean, usually it does go the way that you think it's going to go. Right. Every once in a while, you have that underdog going to run.
Right.
And by the way, the Caps were an underdog in the series, and I'm watching the games, and I say, I don't know why.
So far.
Well, not the underdog anymore.
So far, they've clearly been dominant.
Well, if you have
but it can change.
Do you have a Caps series ticket against the Lightning? You like what you see in the first two games.
Just to be clear.
Plus 170.
Yeah.
They're 7-1 on the road, right? So that puts them at 1-3 at home. Right, because they're 8-4 in the playoffs.
Yeah, they dropped 1 to the Pens and 2 to the Blue Jackets.
They've only played 4 home games.
Well, they played the first 2 against the Blue Jackets.
Had to losers, played,
and then they came back because they won both in Columbus. Correct.
Played 3 against the Pens, 3 home games.
Well, all I know is they're 8-4. So if they're 7-1 on the road, that means by my math, that means they're 1-3
that makes sense.
At home.
Yeah. Right.
So that's a reason to get scared.
They're much better on the road.
They're 1-3 at home. A good reason to be scared. Even though they've been the better team.
Lost two overtime games to Columbus. Better team now. That was groovy. That's so far in the past.
Only two of them.
Full lot of heater.
Two of them for sure.
All right. Phone number you want to chime in on anything, 800-636-1067. We will talk to Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post, also the host of Crossing the Net, right here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.